O'Toole. Good evening. Dermot O'Toole is the Chief Executive of the Consumers Association of Ireland. Every Monday, he gives of his time to do this slot to impart knowledge. Dermot, is public service broadcasting at its best. And I'd just like to make that point to everybody. Information all the way. So if you've got a problem, we're here to help you, whatever it might be. Whatever one of your consumer rights you feel have been violated, or you're getting crap service somewhere, or being ignored, or anything like that, call us, 850-6597. Now, air passengers whose flights were disrupted by volcanic ash over the past 2 years, remember that, Dermot?
Indeed I do.
They experienced a lack of information about their rights to refunds and compensation. They surely did. A new report by the European Consumer Centres Network claims there are gaps in the EU legislation to protect the rights of air passengers, and it recommends a more simplified way of taking cross-border legal action against airlines. It also accuses some airlines of engaging in a dubious practices and policies, unquote. And they call on all airlines to make their contact details for complaints available via telephone, email and regular post. If you've got a complaint with us, here's the number you ring. Yeah, right. It's also called on national enforcement bodies across the EU, like the Commission for Aviation Regulation here in Ireland, to levy penalties on airlines which visibly fail to respond to consumers' complaints. Ryanair emerged as one of the airlines against which most complaints were made over the fallout from the volcanic ash crisis. And on a day when Ryanair announced a 20% rise in profits, well, that's because they have so many flights, Dermot, and
Absolutely.
The lion's share of the market. They were fined €3 million by the Italian aviation authorities over the failure to honour obligations to assist passengers after the cancellation of flights, although Ryanair has appealed the decision. Generally speaking, Dermot, before we hear what people were telling us in the streets today about this, what would be your own sense of it from your own office, from the Consumers Association of Ireland? I mean, is this something that people complain about a lot?
A huge amount, because the difficulty is they can't speak directly to an airline. They have to go through channels. They have to go either online, predominantly online, or they must write. When they do want to get any element of refund,
or ring a premium rate phone line.
Or ring a premium rate phone line, absolutely. And if it costs them a lot of money to make a complaint or to try to even get, as I say, some of their own entitlements, and it's very frustrating.
Would you share my scepticism about this suggestion by the European Consumer Centres Network that rules are enforced so that there would be email, post and telephone details posted everywhere saying, if you want to complain, here's how you do it.
I mean, it's a good thought process. It makes logical sense, but the reality of it happening is very slim, and that's the downside of it. Particularly airlines. It's a nasty business. It's a big business. It's cutthroat. And the reality is, it's all about costs. They're not going to take on those kind of costs.
And you'd give it as much as a slim chance.
Yes.
A bit more than I'd give it. And on that whole thing from Facebook, Dermot O'Toole is here in studio, by the way. It's Monday. Dermot is the Chief Executive of the Consumers Association of Ireland, here to advise you with your consumer queries. And Ray says there's a certain budget airline that if you're willing to travel 20 miles from the city and have as little baggage as possible, you're there, perfect customer. But God forbid you make a mistake and want to change your ticket. Book somewhere else. Ray. It's very easy, says Joe. I called Ryanair yesterday about a ticket change. Got a lovely lady, couldn't be more helpful, and got through it the first go.
Wow.
What time of the day did you ring, Joe? I just tried, says Gerard, to contact Aer Lingus, and some of their telephone number prefixes are wrong. Some are 353-0818-XXXX, and others are plus 353-818-XXXX. Obviously, the zero should only be used without the 353.
Looks like it.
Mm. So, do we need to tell the consumer that, or Aer Lingus that?
I think Aer Lingus that, so that they correct their website.
You should really put the zero in brackets, shouldn't you?
Yeah.
So plus 353-0818 is wrong. Plus 353-818 will be the way forward. Anyway, you can join that conversation at facebook.com. Look for Dublin's Q102. The phone line, 850-6597. Ian is in Swords. Hello, Ian.
Good evening and welcome back, Scott.
Thanks very much, Ian. Ian, you had a problem with Vodafone and you were told by Judy of the Dermot's office to get in touch with Comreg, and just pick it up there, what's been happening?
Good evening, Dermot. How are you?
Evening to you, Ian. Very well, thanks.
Now, basically, there was very little move. There was no progress initially. With Vodafone, they made it very difficult. They said they couldn't deal with this issue. They couldn't, and they wanted me to change banks, etc. Now, I contacted Comreg as advised by the CAI and Judy and Dermot's team. They did make a formal complaint, which Vodafone received last week, and they offered me €40 back off the outstanding balance. Miraculously, however, on Friday, when I contacted them to let them know I was going back on the show with yourself and Dermot, they gave me a call and said they were clearing the entire balance off the account.
Wait, how much was that?
In total, it would have been about €160.
So you had 160 instead of the 40 you were offered.
Excellent.
Exactly, yeah.
I see.
Yeah. So it was an absolute turnaround, but it's fantastic. And given Vodafone's situation, they did handle it fairly well insofar as they gave this guy to represent Vodafone and put him on the case, but they really dragged their heels. It took them nearly 2 months to make any sort of progress.
We do find, though, to be fair, Ian, that when you sort of connect with them, they do sort things out.
They allocated this chap who worked very hard while he was there to kind of get the issue resolved, but apparently this payment issue cannot be resolved. It's anyone paying direct to the bank from Ulster Bank can't make payments. They misallocate all the payments.
Oh, Darius.
But thanks to yourselves, it's been sorted out, thank God. Unfortunately, I had to close the account, the broadband account, and I have had to hire a new provider.
Right.
Because the issue can't be resolved, but Vodafone, in good grace, have turned around and
And you're back in the air and you'll be able to email us again and everyone's happy.
Well, that's positive, yes. Yeah, it's great to get a good result. That's
Ian,
terrific.
I'm glad you're happy.
I'm glad I'm happy too, Scott. Thank you guys very, very much.
You're very welcome.
Very welcome.
Take care, Ian.
It wouldn't have happened without your help.
Okay,
thanks,
Ian. Bye-bye. That's Ian you. There in Swords. Always good to hear a success story. Now, I wonder what we can do here for Francis. Hello, Francis.
Hello.
Francis and Donnymead. Now, you wanted your driveway paved, yeah?
Yes.
So you asked for a quotation from a company who were doing work nearby at a friend's house, and you were quoted £6,500 to have the boundary walls replaced, an internal wall replaced, front garden dug up and replaced with cobble lock. Okay?
Yeah.
So they did a lovely job on your cobble lock, but they didn't put in a drainage system. So every time it rains, you've got the water flowing towards your front door.
Yes.
And Dublin County Council say your boundary wall is unsafe. This is not the best of a job that was done here, Francis.
It's the workmanship is
good.
Yeah,
very poor.
On the wall.
Yeah.
Now, there's some bits of cement missing here and there, but the bricks, the cement, when they left, has become dry and powdery.
Yeah.
It's not like cement.
It's not like cement.
Not solid. It's dusty.
Dusty.
But washing up liquid into it.
What's that a sign of, Dermot? Oh, not enough cement, too much sand, apparently.
Sort of, yes. Mm. Very poor.
Yeah, well, we're not builders, Francis. That would be our view. But, I mean, Dermot, what about the whole point of putting in cobble lock and quoting for it, and then Francis ends up with the problem she has, which is a drainage problem underneath it? I mean, if you advertise yourself as a master cobble locker, and you end up with a load of cobblers like this with no drainage, I mean, what recourse has Francis got here against these people?
Oh, well, I mean, we're back to the sale of goods and the Supply of Services Act, provided she can contact the builders. But to explain, as we've said before, the Act requires that any of the materials used, which is a key element here, be of the best merchantable quality and therefore fit for their purpose. So that goes to as much as the cobble lock as the brickwork, the concrete and anything else used in the process. And then, most importantly, the Supply of Services requires that they would have the skills to ensure that there would not be any element of a drainage problem, that they would know what they would be doing so that there wouldn't be a build-up, and most importantly, that you wouldn't have a problem at all, Francis. So can you tell me this? Have you the way and the means of contacting them, and have you done that? You don't?
No. And I have seen this van, as I said, for the last 30 years or 20-something years. But the original owner has seemingly died. And it's a son now that's dealing with the company.
Right.
And he has no time to listen to anything. Nor didn't while I was getting the job done.
I see. And how did you pay him? Not that it really matters, but...
They didn't look for any money up front.
Right.
They got the money the last day
because
he had a problem. His house had been broken into, seemingly.
Right.
And he was in a panic to get back home. And he wanted the money there and then. And he would definitely come back and finish it. Just like I definitely gave him the money.
Yes, I understand.
After the week's work.
And do you have a receipt?
So, nothing. No, nothing. He's going to give it back to me. He's going to come back with it. And yes, he was posting it every week then when I rang him for a receipt. I needed a receipt for the bank.
Ah, cowboys.
The bank won't give me any money or the credit union without the receipts because I have to show where
of course.
I put the money.
So what can we do for Francis, Darren?
Well, there are really only two things you can do.
The guards.
And the guards loom large in this.
Mm.
The other thing is to get a solicitor.
But there's no point in having a solicitor. I've nowhere
to cost you money.
Letter.
I appreciate that. I understand it. Don't get me wrong. But I suggest you maybe contact FLAC with a view to, they'd believe you me, this won't be the first time they've heard of this. And I can't help but feel that they would help you because they would have a letter almost standardised at this stage, believe it or not, that they could send to this individual. But I would ask that, or at worst, I would ask that they put in that letter that the guards have been notified. And I do suggest that you notify the guards. I would make, if you have a number, I would make one phone call to this number, even if the person, if I have to leave a message saying that within 24 hours, literally, by the end of the 24th hour, you will be in the Garda station making an official complaint against this individual.
Mm.
Okay.
That's all we can think of, Francis.
Sadly, but yes.
Let us know how you get on, won't you?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Francis there in Dunamie. The number here is 8506597. It's Monday. Dermot Jewell, the Chief Executive of the Consumers Association of Ireland, is here with me, and we're dealing with consumer queries. Paddy is in Crumlin. Hello, Paddy.
How are you doing? How's it going?
Now, Paddy, you bought a laptop.
Yes.
When? When?
September 09.
September 09, yeah.
But a year's guarantee. I bought a 4 or 2 year warranty.
Right. So let's say now September 09 plus a year, Dermot, is September 10, and two more years of extended warranty.
Yes.
Should bring you to September 12.
12.
Yeah. Go on. What happened then?
So a couple of weeks ago, I had to bring it back, and they said the lid was gone. They needed a new lid, so they gave me a new lid. I said, happy days. So I went again, and we brought it back, and then I got word off them to say that it wasn't worth repairing.
Right. And did the lid go again, the same lid?
No, no, the screen went this time.
Oh, the screen went there. We've got a laptop without a screen isn't much use, Dermot, is it?
Not really. No. Kind of defeats the purpose.
They informed me then. I said, oh, well, that's grand. I said, it's the repair or replace sort of thing, as I thought, you know.
Yes.
And I said, oh, no, you had one repair, which was €70 for a lid, and now we'll give you the difference between the price, the purchase price of the laptop.
The difference between the purchase price of the laptop and €70?
And €70, yeah.
Okay. So, in other words, you made a claim under the warranty.
Yeah.
Worth €70, you get the new lead, then the thing breaks down again, screen goes, but Dermot, surely the lead going is entirely unconnected with the screen going.
Completely.
So should Paddy have got a new laptop or a repair?
I would believe that he should. If they can't repair it, then they would have to replace it.
Hmm.
Oh, they didn't say they couldn't repair it. They said it wasn't worth repairing.
Well, then you should have got a replacement.
Now, I know, obviously, they're saying, well, Paddy, sorry about this, but your contract stipulates that in the course of blah, 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 the warranty, if you make a claim, then that's deducted from the next one. Well, that's what I was about to ask, Paddy. Yeah. Do you know, does your contract state that? Have you seen this?
Have you seen it, Paddy?
I haven't, no.
No. Well, you need to check that out.
Well, since then, I got on to the manager of the store, and I have to say, very helpful. So he's on the case now to see, they send all the repairs out to be repaired.
Right.
So he said he'd get on the case and got back to me since. So he hasn't got back to me as yet, sort of thing, you know.
Okay. Well, could I suggest, Paddy, that you give him a call tomorrow, tell him you were speaking to Scott and myself, and that we would like to and sincerely hope that by next Monday, when you do come back on, that the whole matter is solved, but most especially resolved to the fact and to the nth point that you have a new laptop.
In your hand,
without having to fork out €70.
Yep.
I will indeed.
Dermot, what sort of a warranty do you buy that only allows you one claim?
Well, it'd be rather unusual now. I mean, that's
nonsense.
Kind of, it is nonsense. Yeah.
And Paddy, you paid for the 2 extra years extended.
I did, yeah.
How much was that extra, just out of curiosity?
Yeah.
How much was it, Paddy?
The laptop.
Yeah, no, the warranty.
How much was the extra warranty?
The extra warranty was €54.
So you gave him another €54. So tell
him. They want to give me €70 off
Yeah.
the the purchase price of the laptop. They want to refund me €226.
Yeah, well, you tell them we paid the 54 for the comfort and peace of mind, yes, of two additional years. And in exchange for that, we want a new laptop, end of. And we'd love to have you back on here next Monday so that I can tell everybody in Dublin how well they've looked after you, and I'll plug their shop and everything for them.
There you go.
I'll do that, so.
All right then, Paddy.
Lovely.
See you, Paddy. You're welcome. Bye-bye. Okay, now, Dermot, by email, your favourite. I purchased a 321 suite. from a retailer in May of this year, and I paid 50% deposit. The suite was due into the retailer this week. However, the retailer has informed me that the container of suites was stolen from the haulier's yard. I received a victim of theft letter from the guards confirming that the container was stolen. The retailer is reluctant to refund me my deposit and wants me to wait another 3 months for my suite or reselect another model which they might have in stock. Am I entitled to my refund? And if I choose to wait the 3 months or reselect a new suite, am I entitled to some sort of compensation from the retailer? Ask Sarah in Inchicore.
Okay, Sarah, I'll work backwards. I wouldn't even consider going the compensation route. If you're having trouble trying to get your entitlement of your refund back, which you are fully entitled to, immediately.
Go into the man's shop and see if there's anything you fancy. Would be the best advice, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
And if you don't...
But realistically, you should have your deposit, and I would be very, very insistent that you have it back very, very quickly.
Yes.
Regardless of what the scenario is, because there will be other people in a line now, in a queue behind you or in front of you, and I think you really need to be quite strong. I understand their difficulty, but the reality is, it's your money, you're entitled to have it back, contract's off, it's broken, different terms... Yeah. So look for your money back.
So, but have a look though.
But have a look. You might see something you love and like.
If you see something you like, you do it. But failing that, we need the money back, Sarah. End of.
And just to add to the point that you did ask, which is that yes, if you do see something you like, and it's a little bit out of the reach or a little bit more, then say, well, look, there's a form of compensation. I'm waiting many months. Let's agree on the original price, and I'll take that.
And I'll take that. And but you don't have to give them the other half of the money.
Absolutely.
As well. There we go. That's our advice to you, Sarah. I purchased a tandem buggy yesterday for €300. The assistant said it was reduced from nearly 600. I can't remember the exact figure, but something like 600. Yep. Says Carol. The deal was a buggy with the toddler seat included. You know the one, Darcy.
Indeed, yeah.
I was looking for something else online. I found the official site located here in Dublin. And the price of the buggy was advertised as €200 and the seat was €39. I feel I have been grossly ripped off. Do I have any rights here?
What you do if they're claiming that it was... they have to be able to prove to you that it was on sale at that high price. You're entitled to that much.
How would they prove it? Photographs?
Well, a variety of ways. They can actually prove it by showing that they sold some at that price, you know.
And what now, if they didn't?
This would be an NCA one, if you like, if they can't and won't prove it to
But I'd say they wouldn't have any sold because it's too dear.
Absolutely, I couldn't agree more. But this is going to be a difficult one. What I would suggest is that you tell them you've been speaking to ourselves, or that you came, you put the message through to us, and that rather than have to go and report this seriously to the National Consumer Agency for breaching the law in
so this is, to be very clear then, you brought it to our attention, we're advising you to go to the...
Advising you to go to the NCA.
But go back to the shop first and say, look, I was going online. In fact, go into your website there, do it in the shop and say, I'm very confused. That's the same buggy you saw me.
Yes.
And you said it was...
And look at the price of it discount.
So what can you do for me?
Very odd. Yeah. Absolutely. Because that's... rather serious a matter.
That is false advertising.
It is
misleading
indeed.
Advertising.
Misleading,
misleading advertising. AR Carl, that's what you need to do. Talk to the... And they're online, Dermot, at NCA.ie?
Yes.
NCA.ie.
Consumer
Connect. You're on the Scott Williams Show on Dublin's Q102. Dermot Jewell is here. It's Monday. We're doing consumer queries.
Dublin's Q102.
The Scott Williams Show.
With Sunway Holidays and Delta Airlines bringing you to the US for less for Viva Las Vegas breaks.
The way it is in Dublin.
Our number here is 850-6597. Dermot Jewell, the Chief Executive of the Consumer Association of Ireland, is here on a Monday always to do consumer queries. Now, Mark was in touch with us. Dermot, he says... I'm wondering, could you help me? I purchased a Whirlpool fridge freezer on the 18th of August 2011, just a few weeks ago. Last weekend, the red warning light kept coming on, and I put in a call to the vendor, who said they would send out an engineer. He informed me that the warning light was on due to the fact that the fridge was in a room with a temperature of less than 10 degrees. And there was nothing he could do about it. This is obviously a fridge engineer. Following this, the red warning light kept coming on intermittently. It was working okay. Returned home last night to find the warning light on again and the contents of the freezer totally defrosted and only fit for disposal. This morning I called the retailer and informed him. He told me that the service department of Whirlpool are responsive for after sales. Are they? He was very helpful but told me that it was up to Whirlpool to decide whether to replace or repair the fridge. Is it? I did not agree with him on this point. I was under the impression that this was my decision. They're sending an engineer tomorrow to investigate the problem. If you could clarify with me what my position is, I'd be very, very grateful, says Mark. Now, he bought it from a retailer.
Right.
So the problem is with the retailer, really, Dermot?
It most certainly was. Sale of goods? Two and a half months ago.
18th of August.
Definitely sale of goods, yeah. Supply of services.
But what about this? The light's on because...
It's in a fridge.
The room is too cold.
Yeah, hello. Yes, that's crazy. That's, yeah.
I mean, that's just, I mean, what?
Dear Lord.
Mark, that's... I mean, did you, well, actually, you know, if something like that said to you at the time, you think about it afterwards, you go, that's, you think I'm a fool. But at the time, I suppose you...
Well, you're inclined to go with the flow and say, oh, right, didn't realise that. I mean, yes.
Instead of saying, what sort of crap is that?
Yeah. Try another one. Hmm. Yes.
Anyway.
Mark, I put it to you this way. Yeah, absolutely. But the fact that the engineer is coming tomorrow, I suppose what you should do is wait for the engineer to come.
And let him fix it.
And, if he may fix it, but I would get an undertaking.
But you can't fix this, Dermot. The kitchen that this fridge freezes in is too cold. I've never come across a case like this. It's brilliant.
Look, Mark is not happy with us. This is difficult.
Mark.
Mark, I'll be honest with you. The very fact that after a couple of months this thing has failed the way it has and has cost you a fortune and a loss of food, as Scott says, this is nothing to do with Whirlpool. It is later on when they take back the refrigerant and your retailer gives you a replacement. If you so wish. So could I suggest to you that you ring in the morning the retailer and say, look, Dermot, Jules, Scott Williams, we've told you that, look, you're entitled to a replacement fridge, and if they're not going to give you a replacement, you can actually argue for your money back, but that you would like a replacement fridge.
Yeah, new one out of the box.
A brand new one out of the box, delivered to you tomorrow after the engineer comes and looks at the one that's not working and they figure out where they're going to put it when they take it away.
Make sure, Mark, they give you the one that's designed for the warm Irish kitchen.
This is it, Jeff. Yeah. Try and get one of those ones.
Yeah, rather than the one that can't take.
And if they tell you it costs more, don't mind them.
Yeah, don't mind them. Yeah. Okay, Dermot? Yes?
Absolutely.
Mark, that's what you do. Okay, we got Joseph on the line here. Hello, Joseph.
Hello, Scott.
How are we doing? Now, well, thanks. Now, Joseph's partner took a flight from Dublin to France, Dermot, and when she went to check in, she only had her hand luggage. Well, she was probably in good order then for most of these low-cost airlines. Everything was fine, and she went off onto the plane. However, when she was on the plane, she was taken off the plane because of her nationality and that her boarding pass hadn't been stamped. So, what was that about, Joseph? What did they actually go and say, here, get off this plane?
Yeah, they came along and said that you're not travelling here today because your boarding pass, you didn't go to the passport check-in point. And she has been there and turned around and said, because your ticket has not been stamped, your boarding pass has not been stamped, that you will not be travelling today. Okay?
Yeah. Now,
the situation is that she went back to the manager and the manager says, no, there's nothing we can do about it now, so... you had to read the small print on your boarding pass and it was your fault that it wasn't stamped.
So they're saying it was her fault that... No, well, what do you mean by stamp? I mean, when you bring a boarding pass, they have one of those little readers.
See, it states on this ticket here in small print, all non-EU passengers must go to the bag and drop in check-in point before going through the security.
And what nationality is your partner?
She's Mauritius.
She's from Mauritius, okay.
Yeah. Now, she was taking a flight to France.
Yeah.
But the thing is that she had boarded this plane.
Yeah, and she's actually sitting in the seat.
Yes.
Dermot.
Wow.
I mean, that's like something out of out of a movie, isn't it?
It is, very much so. And Joseph, I'm very, very surprised that they you know, obviously that she missed out on this and didn't recognise the fact that she got through. She assumed all was well. Was there no way or no means through which they would... Well, obviously there wasn't. But did she ask, well, look, I'll go and I'll talk to security now, wherever, show me where they are and I'll get it stamped.
Yeah, but the thing is, she was on plane, and by the time she had to do all this, the plane was gone.
Plane was gone.
Okay, but can I just... Yeah, okay.
Plane's
right,
gone.
Gotcha.
Are we entitled to a refund for this, Art?
I would think so, yes. Yeah. Because whilst I understand that it would be argued that it's her fault, if you like, that she didn't do this, I would argue in the opposite, that... she wasn't given, or there was no insistence at any point that she remedied that situation, that she was sent back by any of the people at any time, at which point, now I know if it's Dublin Airport, for example, you go through and an individual takes your boarding pass, looks at it, scans it and says, OK, go ahead. That person should have stopped her.
That's what I mean. She went through security. She went through all the particulars. She went to the. She actually went to the check-in point as well.
Right.
And the check-in point is because you have no hand luggage, or luggage going through the system here.
Wave her on.
To wave her on. Looked at her boarding pass and all. So everything is fine. Shoulder the gate. Go through the gate and off she went. And then she ended up on the plane. And then she was taken off the plane. It feels like she was humiliated. You know what I mean? On the plane.
Oh, of course. Gosh, you can only imagine.
She's like a criminal.
Everybody. Oh, well, that's exactly what the person beside her was saying. My, what did that girl do? My God, huh?
You know.
So, can we get a refund on it?
I would think so. I would hope so. And you should argue long and hard for it.
I did now. What I've done is now, I went to that evening, I went up to the, well, I mentioned the airline.
Yeah.
Why not?
It's Ryanair.
Ryanair, right. Yes.
Okay, Ryanair. I went to Ryanair office that evening and I was arguing with this. And also, there was another couple there from Australia. And they have also the same issue, that their boarding pass was not checked in either.
Right.
And they have missed their flight in France as well, because they had to meet people in France to fly to Australia. And because Ryanair was saying that couple has a totally different situation than yours, as your partner has ended up on the plane. They didn't. They went to the security, yes. And they were stopped.
Right.
Well, my issue was, my partner ended up on the plane and was taken off the plane. Now, I have wrote a letter in of complaint into the customer service department of Swords, and I gave them 10 days to acknowledge this letter.
Right.
On the 5th of October.
Right.
And now this is November now.
Okay.
And I still got no letter or no apply.
Can I just mention something else to you, Joseph?
Yes.
When you buy a ticket, you pay airport taxes.
We're going Jordan's on this ticket, yeah.
Yeah, no, I understand that, but it's the taxes element that I'm interested in. When the taxes include, for example, the security services that you have to interact with. It's part of what the airport taxes are all about.
Mm-hmm.
So I would write also to Dublin Airport Authority, giving them a degree of liability and responsibility here, and telling them that you're having significant problems with Ryanair responding to your claim, and that therefore you would feel that they're going to have to take some hand, act and part in this on your behalf, because it was their staff at security that arguably caused part of the problem too.
And that's the point, Joseph. It wasn't a Ryanair member of staff that took you off. It was somebody who works at the DAA, so you need to get on to them. So give that a go and let us know how you get on, Joseph.
Yeah, that'd be grand, yeah. But the only thing, Ryanair wouldn't even entertain me, like, you know what I mean? They keep referring me back to the small print on the ticket.
Yeah. Well, that's our advice to you anyway. That's what you need to do.
I understand where they're coming from to some degree, and that's why I'd go to DAA.
Go and have a chat with the DAA.
DAA.
If you go online, daa.ie, you'll get all their details.
All the details there. All right,
okay,
Joseph.
Thank you.
You take care. Bye-bye.